Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So my parents celebrated their 55th wedding anniversary last week. And I haven't been around for all of their anniversaries, but I've been around for most of them. 53 out of the 55 for just over 96% of them. My older brother's been to one more than I have. Well, never mind. Anniversaries are often a time to reminisce. And so while we had lunch together on their 55th, we talked a lot about their 50th anniversary. Because for that anniversary, my parents rented a suite at Oracle Park, and we got to watch the Giants lose the second to last game of the 2017 series and not go to the playoffs. Well, they were a long ways away from the playoffs that year as well. Their anniversary on their 50th was on a Saturday, just like it had been on the day they got married in San Francisco 50 years prior, and they were able to invite their entire wedding party to the game, which consisted of the maid of honor and the best man, my uncle. But they were both there, the entire wedding party and our entire family, so there were about 20 of us there. And like I said, the Giants lost. We had a great time celebrating and remembering the 50 years of my parents' marriage together, without which probably half of the people in that suite wouldn't have been there, including myself, or wouldn't have existed, right? At least not in the way we do. So some of us are even happier to celebrate their anniversary than others because we wouldn't exist without it. Now, I don't remember my parents' wedding because I wasn't there. I wasn't there. Nor do I remember a lot of things that happened in my early childhood. However, I have heard enough stories, and some of them repeatedly, about many of those things that I didn't experience myself, that it feels like I remember them as I've heard those stories over and over again. And those stories make up my family's collective memory, and as a result, they have helped shape me individually and helped shape us as a family. A similar thing happens through Scripture in our faith family. This morning we have been and will be encouraged to remember things that we weren't there to experience firsthand. We're told to remember things that we weren't there to experience firsthand. However, they have become a part of our collective memory. As descendants of Abraham and recipients of the covenants that God has made with God's people over the centuries. This fall, we've been reading and I've been preaching about some of these promises, which are more formally referred to as covenants. The first covenant was with Noah after the flood, when God put a bow in the sky and promised to never again cover the earth with water. And then God made a covenant with Abram and Sarai, where God promised to make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the heavens, thereby blessing him and his people that we might be a blessing to the nations. Their descendants, or specifically Abram and Sarai's great grandsons, were the sons of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham, became the 12 tribes of Israel. And 2 weeks ago, we read about how they came, those 12 brothers, all came to be in Egypt because of the famine and the role that their brother Joseph had played by interpreting dreams for Pharaoh. After 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God called Moses to lead God's people out of Egypt, and God sent 10 increasingly oppressive plagues, after which Pharaoh finally agreed to release the Israelites, which we read about last Sunday. And after they were safely on the other side of the Red Sea, the Israelites wandered for about 3 months prior to where our reading at Exodus 19 begins this morning. They are camped at the base of Mount Sinai, where they will remain for the rest of the book of Exodus, for all of the book of Leviticus, and until chapter 10 of the book of Numbers. This is where they will receive the law. Not just the 10 commandments that we read about them receiving this morning, but hundreds of others that will help them figure out how to live as a liberated people. Now, almost immediately after they arrived at Mount Sinai, Moses went up to God. And God seems as anxious to see Moses as Moses is to see God, for God exclaims, we read that the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites." God begins his conversation with Moses by reminding Moses and the Israelites who they are, and that they are from the house of Jacob, who was Joseph's father, who we just talked about a minute ago. These are the Israelites. God, it seems, knows how important it is for us to remember, for otherwise we don't know who we are, and we don't know whose we are. You see, if we don't remember, we don't know who to love and who to fear, who has been faithful and who has persecuted us. So God reminds the Israelites that they are from the house of Jacob, from the lineage of Abram, with whom God made a promise to make his name great and to make of his descendants a great nation. God says, "You are those people. You are the people I was referring to." And God reminds the Israelites, but God doesn't just stop there. God continues to remind them who they are by saying, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians when I bore you up on eagle's wings and I drew you to myself." Things didn't turn out as well for the Egyptians, if you remember last week's reading. God wants the Israelites to remember. No, I think God needs the Israelites to remember where they have come from, and that it was God who rescued them from hundreds of years of hard work and slavery in Egypt. God wants the Israelites to remember what God has done for them, how faithful God has been to the covenant that God made with Abram, so that they will remember how much God loves them and how much God desires a relationship with them. If they forget what God has done for them, if they forget who they are, there is perhaps little to no basis for this relationship that God wants. And imagine, if you know the story of them in the wandering in the wilderness that, as it will come, has already begun and will continue. Imagine the pain for God when the Israelites complained about being out in the wilderness. We saw the precursor to this complaining when they were at the edge of the Red Sea and they saw the Egyptians coming down on them and they complained to Moses that, "What, did you bring us out here into the wilderness to die because there weren't enough graves in Egypt?" And that complaining will continue. They'll complain about being thirsty and hungry, to which God will respond by giving them water from a rock and manna from heaven. Then they'll complain about the manna, saying that at least in Egypt they had meat to eat. And each time they complain and wish that they were back in Egypt, reflecting upon their time there with those rose-tinted glasses, in a way they reject God and God's provision for them as they question God's motives and God's love for them. So God reminds them, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt," and God intends that reminder to be a good thing. It's not to get blamed for bringing them out of when life was so good back in Egypt when we got to be slaves, but instead reminding them that God liberated them from their captivity, from their slavery. It's funny how we can remember the same event so differently, which can lead us to drastically different conclusions. For God sees that the Exodus is a good thing for the people, and they have yet to fully accept and remember it as such. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt because God wanted them to come to know God and to count on God in a way that they never would have as slaves in Egypt, who were so controlled by the Egyptians. God brought them out of Egypt so that God could show God's love for them and that they could show their love for God. God brought them out of Egypt so they could have a relationship with God, so they could worship God. And every time they remembered being slaves as being better than being free in the wilderness, God's heart must have broken. We just want to go back. We want to go back to how it used to be. The good old days in Egypt where we got to work 7 days a week. Life was good. It's hard in the wilderness. It can be hard being out there without the what we have become familiar with and used to. But even though they complained, even though they didn't always worship God and only God, God was still faithful to the Israelites. Even though they were whining, you want to turn that right off. You keep whining, I'll give you something to whine about. God continued to remind them who he is and how much he loved them. And when God presented the Ten Commandments to them in Exodus 20, God reminded them once again that who God is and what God had done for them. God said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's a good thing, remember? And as we continue to read and preach throughout the Old Testament, we will see God reminding the Israelites time and time again that he has led them out of their slavery in Egypt. God will continue to remind them that God is their God and they are God's people. And God will continue to be faithful to the promises that God has made to them through Noah and Abram and Moses. For God has been faithful to God's people as we read throughout the Old Testament and into the New. When through Jesus, God provided us with yet another opportunity to be released from our bondage and captivity. For it is through Jesus that God has provided us with the forgiveness of our sins and the freedom from the burden of death through the promise of everlasting life. As God reminded the Israelites to remember the Exodus by celebrating Passover, Jesus reminds us to remember the Exodus from our sin and death that has been offered to us by celebrating Holy Communion together. For you see, the meal that we remember, the meal that we participate in, is the meal that Jesus shared with his disciples on the night of his arrest. It is a meal of remembrance. It is a meal of remembrance of the Passover. For it was at that very meal that Jesus instructed his disciples to continue to celebrate and to remember what he has done for us as he gave his body, saying this, broke the bread, gave his body, said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembering that the one true God who brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, has sent his one and only Son to deliver us from the power of sin and the burden of death. Remember that God loves you so much that God gave his only Son as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. All of them, even the big ones. Remember that through the crucifixion and resurrection, we have been delivered from our old lives into a new life with Christ. For we, like the Israelites, have been given the opportunity to live in the freedom that God's love offers to us all. Admittedly, this freedom comes with responsibility for us, as it did the Israelites when they received the Ten Commandments. But that responsibility comes as a response to the promise and love that we have received, not as a condition of it. The commandments come as a response to the love that we have received, not as a condition of it. God gives freely, and we respond in love to God and that which God loves, which is what the Ten Commandments pretty much point us to. So let us remember what God has done for us as we gather around the Lord's table. Last week, we sang a song that was Bath to Table. To the bath and the table. It was our opening hymn, and you probably were all just Google-eyed over Andrea on the organ. But you think of that progression for us as Christians from the baptismal font, from the waters of baptism, where we have entered into this life everlasting, to the table where we remember that. From the waters of the Red Sea to the promise that God makes with God's people here with Moses and ultimately in Jesus. We come through the water, we remember at the table, and we receive the grace that God has promised, that God has covenanted it. I don't even know if it's a word. That God did covenant with each and every one of us to be our God if we would be his people. So let us remember that the Lord your God has brought you out of the house of slavery to sin, has brought you through the waters of holy baptism and into the promised land of everlasting life. Amen.